Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you are, wherever you're traveling, wherever your Labor Day plans have you. We're so grateful to have you tuning in this morning. This is the last of our five-part Fishing with Jesus series. We're looking at the Gospel of John chapter 21, a last fishing story, a resurrection story that I suspect many of you know well. As we prepare ourselves for that story, though, I want you to enjoy this morning's anthem. One more time, offered by our dear friend, fisherman and boat captain on the Sea of Galilee, Daniel Carmel, singing in Hebrew and in English, because as you've heard me say, he believes everyone's going to need a little Hebrew in heaven, singing, I Could Sing of Your Love.
לנצח רק אשיר על חום אהבתך אליי, אהבתך בשיריי, אהבתך בשיריי, אהבתך,
אהבתך
בשיריי, לנצח. אפתח ליבי ואור גדול לשרור אז בעולם, עושה האור שבעיניי בורא דרי דרי חיי, לנצח רק אשיר על חום אהבתך אליי, אהבתך בשיריי לנצח, אהבתך בשיריי
שבעיניי, עורד על מיתרי חיי,
לנצח רק אשיר על חום אהבתך אליי. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your
So we turn our attention to the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. And I know you probably know this story, particularly the second half of it, where after Peter has denied knowing Jesus three times, after Jesus' resurrection appearance, we get this one-on-one exchange where Jesus allows Peter a threefold opportunity to profess his love. He asks Peter, Simon, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says it three times. And after each profession of love, Jesus says something to the effect of feed my lambs, attend my sheep, feed my sheep, kind of commissioning Peter to ministry after this kind of moment of wonderful reconciliation. But it's what precedes that I want to draw our attention to this morning, the beginning 14 verses of chapter 21. And it reads this way. It says, after these things, that's Jesus' death and crucifixion and some subsequent resurrection appearances, it says, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus showed himself this way. Gathered together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of Jesus' disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we'll go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now, just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. Now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. And the intention there is he began to swim toward Jesus. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards up. But when they'd gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard, hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. I mean, think about that. He says, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared to ask Jesus, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for our journey with you this summer season. And we just ask that this word, this final fishing story of the summer, might speak to us in important ways and in ways you want to teach. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it may be true for you, but it's true for many folks that this 21st chapter of John is one of the most beloved and consider beautiful gospel chapters. It's, as I said, the story of a forgiving Lord and this failed disciple and the two of them reconciling. After denying that Peter ever knew Jesus three times, after Jesus' arrest, interestingly, around a charcoal fire, that's where those denials took place. After that, Jesus offers Peter this opportunity to profess his love and devotion to Jesus three times, thus forgiving Peter and his failure. This is also, though, a story of the disciples' failure to launch, I think. Jesus was making yet another attempt to usher those disciples on their way. In the preceding chapter, chapter 20, Jesus appeared, as you may remember the story, in resurrected form in a locked room to reconcile with his disciples, to make all things right, and he commissioned them there and then for ministry, saying, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. He says, so I send you. This is Jesus saying, good news, death is not an end. See, life continues. Now get out and preach and teach and heal. Share this great news with the world. Get going. But according to this story, what did the disciples do? They went back home to Capernaum and For whatever reason, Peter suggested they return to their old profession. Jesus had called Peter and the other disciples to be preachers, and they chose to go back into the fishing boat. Yet another failure of sorts, if you think about it. You know, it's curious. Jesus' upper room appearance, returning to failed friends, was this radical act of forgiveness and devotion. You know, this is Jesus essentially saying, you've left me, but I will not leave you. But for whatever reason, that attempt at reconciliation didn't seem to take. You know, sometimes the greatest barrier to forgiveness is a person's willingness to accept it. You know, or our failure just seems so epic, or our relationships seem so broken, we just can't believe. We can't believe that reconciliation and restoration is even possible. You know, whatever the case, for Peter to become who Peter would eventually be, the local fisherman turned world-changing preacher, a return visit from the Lord was apparently necessary. And Jesus not only obliged, Jesus did something wonderfully disarming that I think is often overlooked. But it was a really important act that prepared the way for reconciliation between Jesus and his friends. Now, allow me to digress for a moment and to mention one of my all-time favorite breakfast foods. Since I was a little kid, I have loved fish for breakfast. I don't know if that's something you've ever done or enjoyed, but my grandfather, Elwood Arthur Garner, a really remarkable guy, retired to Canandaigua Lake in New York. And during the summer, when we would visit, my brother and me, sometimes my cousin Mark, would go out fishing with my grandfather early in the morning. And we would troll in my grandfather's 13-foot Boston Whaler, one of the original model years, and we'd troll along the shoreline of Granger Point. And as we passed under a neighbor's low-hanging weeping willow tree, we were always sure to catch a few good-sized perch. And we'd eventually bring our catch back to the dock where my grandfather would clean the fish, and then he would bring them to my grandmother. Grandma Garner would cook the perch up with butter and salt and pepper, dicing them into these savory little shavings, and then she would serve them to us with eggs, bacon, and let me tell you, the most perfectly buttered toast one could ever imagine. You know, I can't read the scripture, John 21, without thinking of those early morning fish breakfasts on Canandaigua Lake with my grandparents. It was a great way to start the day, and it really was a wonderful expression of love and devotion my grandparents made for their grandsons, because I'll tell you, it took effort. I mean, there were more than a few tangled lines and fouled rods and accidental snags that had to be worked through to get to that breakfast. It said, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And I'll tell you, reading the scripture, I realized it was darn important. It was a darn important meal for Peter and those fishing buddies. You know, breakfast by the Sea of Galilee set the stage for an act of forgiveness and reconciliation that would reform lives and launch ministries and ignite a faith that would help to shape the world. Now, as I said, we often focus on the forgiveness of this chapter later on while overlooking this early morning breakfast. But this morning, I want to draw your attention to the meal. Because, as you know, food and table fellowship were significant features of Jesus' ministry. Jesus was all about meals, talking about them, teaching about them, using them as sermon illustrations. The table is sacred and holy for Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this story. Peter jumped into the water and begins frantically making his way to Jesus. And just imagine, given what we know of Peter's life and history in the Gospels, imagine the mixture of emotions that must have been within him. Certainly excitement to see his Lord, maybe a little trepidation about what Jesus might say to him, shame, probably some shame over past and present failures, but probably also a hope that Peter might finally get on the right track. Peter reached the shore and noticed another charcoal fire, right? It's a second charcoal fire setting the stage for reconciliation, much like the night that he denied Jesus around a charcoal fire. But this one, this fire is going to be a fire of reconciliation. This one had food on it, fish and bread. And when Peter and the disciples arrived on shore, the first words Jesus spoke to them were not of rebuke or criticism. Nope. They weren't even words of helpful counsel or advice. No, the first words Jesus spoke to his failure to launch disciples, if you will, were, bring some of that fish you've just caught. Come and have breakfast. Isn't that wonderful? Come and have breakfast. I mean, think about that for a moment. Of all the important things that might need to be said and done, Jesus began the morning by making his disciples breakfast and inviting them to sit down and enjoy a meal. How simple, Yet how extraordinary. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, took time to make breakfast for his friends. Jesus cooked up some fish, apparently baked some bread, and said, "Sit down and enjoy." And then Jesus handed them the food. I mean, I think that's just a wonderfully disarming act of love. Before getting into any of the important spiritual business, Jesus demonstrated his love for his friends by cooking for them, providing for their physical needs. You know, I wonder if it's just a little bit easier to both give and receive a word of forgiveness and reconciliation when those words are preceded by a tangible demonstration of care. The text seems to indicate that the meal was eaten in silence. I suspect a degree of awe and gratitude were mingled with the aroma of freshly baked bread and cooked fish. You know, it's a wonderful and holy image. But for us as Christian people, it's more than an image, right? I mean, think about it. We're invited to breakfast by Jesus and with Jesus every single Sunday morning at communion. Our communion table is a breakfast table. Bread, when you arrive, bread is prepared for you. It awaits you. Each and every failed and faltering disciple is welcome. This is not a table of rebuke or argument or debate. No, it's a place to eat and commune silently with our Lord, allowing ourselves to be filled with both awe and a bit of gratitude that Jesus returns to you and to me, as imperfect and flawed as we may be, just to be with us and enjoy our company. Now, what awaits us on the other side of this meal, I would argue, for us like it was for Peter, is forgiveness itself. An opportunity to profess our love and devotion to Jesus, to start over, to begin again, to try anew. See, Jesus feeds us and forgives us with the intention of setting us free. It's about freedom, freedom to once again attempt to do his work in the world. That's the kind of love and devotion Jesus has for us. He will make us breakfast. He will serve the meal. He will forgive us all our faults and failings so that we are freed to serve others to the glory of God and for the good of the world. So I want you to know this morning, your sins are forgiven. If you're with us in person, we always begin worship with a prayer of confession and an assurance of pardon that lets you know we are forgiven. You know, all of our sins are forgiven. So with that, be freed. And let me tell you, that's not my word. No, it's Jesus's promise. The fact that you've been perhaps an inattentive spouse this week, forgiven. The fact that you may have been an overbearing parent, guess what? Forgiven. The fact that you've been a less than cooperative child, forgiven. The fact that you botched that project or that deal or that relationship at work or at school, guess what? It is forgiven. The fact that you still haven't quite discovered purpose beyond your own interests in retirement, forgiven. The fact that you hold within you some secret sin so shameful you believe you can never be absolved, forgiven. Because that's what Jesus does. He forgives you and me. Now, go out and forgive someone else. Pardon someone who's wronged you. Release someone else from the guilt of offending you. Dare to bridge an estrangement. You know, Jesus said, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." In Ephesians, Paul writes, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you." Now, look, forgiveness ain't easy. You know, when we've been wronged, our first impulse is often rage, not reconciliation. But you know, forgiveness is the only way we survive together. Forgiveness is perhaps the only way God can tolerate us. It's important. It's the glue that keeps us together. And if you don't know how to begin when it comes to forgiveness, if you don't know how to begin, if you're aware a relationship is in need of restoration, but you don't have a clue how that might happen, if you're at a complete and total loss how to start, perhaps make them breakfast. Invite them to a meal. Serve them some food. If you're not a cook and you're in New Canaan, well, take them to Gates or Tequila or Uncorked or to the Farmer's Table or your favorite haunt, whatever that may be, for the table is a sacred and holy and healing place. With Jesus, there is forgiveness for breakfast and reconciliation for lunch and salvation for dinner. Partake of it yourself so you can share it with others. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that through the generations you've called so many people and now you call us to your table so that you might set things right, so that you might make us right, so that you might free us from past sins and failures, so that we might go forth and serve you and serve to your glory. Lord God, there's a lot of good work that needs to be done in this world, and our past history of failure and faltering and falling can't hold us back. You need us out in the world working for good and for others. So thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the forgiveness, and allow us the courage to offer that same gift to others until your forgiveness and your healing is embraced by the entire world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there you have it, church family, the end of our Fishing for Jesus series this summer. We will begin next Sunday with our kickoff Sunday on September 10th in person at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. on God's Acre, but we'll also be sending out this podcast as we always do, and obviously we'll have worship online as well. So we hope you will join us. So as we enter into this weekend and week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.